This is Under the Golden Dome, a weekly podcast about the Iowa legislature. I'm John Pimble. It is week 10 with 3.5 months until this fiscal year is over. And as of this week, a revenue estimating conference report says Iowa is out of money again.
So the actual impact on the balance sheet of the General Assembly and the governor is $131.1 million reduction.
That's how much the state is short, according to Jeff Robinson, senior tax analyst for the Legislative Services Agency, during a revenue report on Tuesday. He is presenting at the Capitol with other state economists, like Legislative Service Agency Director Holly Lyons.
It seems like we've bumped into some headwinds in terms of lower than anticipated sales tax revenue, lower income tax estimated payments, and potentially lower income tax final payments.
Sales taxes amount for 35% of the general fund's revenue, and Lyons says this area isn't growing.
Sales and use tax is perplexing. Economic indicators would suggest that with growing wage and salary income and near full employment, sales tax revenue should be growing at the anticipated 1.9% forecast in December, which was adjusted down from the estimate of 3.3% in October. But it's not. Sales and use tax is currently flat at just less than zero, and it is a definite drag on overall general fund receipts.
The three-person state panel estimates how much the state is going to take in through the year. It gives legislators an idea of what to expect. 3 months ago, they predicted a revenue growth of 4.2%, but this week, after crunching the numbers, they've revised it to 2.7%, which is why there is another shortage in this fiscal year. It's not an easy forecast to make, and it takes many factors into consideration. Holly Lyons says even with a shortfall, there are reasons to be optimistic about the state economy.
Iowa showed a strong gain in third quarter GDP data released in February and was one of 11 states that experienced a real gain of GDP of 4.5% or more. Commodity prices seem to have stabilized. Prospects for 2017 farm income improved slightly. The downward revision in employment benchmarking required by the Bureau of Labor Statistics and announced yesterday is a little concerning. Not quite as many people were employed this past year as statistics originally indicated, but employment is still steady and unemployment remains very low. Initial unemployment insurance claims, an early signal of a recession, remain low. Housing building permits and sales of existing homes are forward-looking indicators, and the number of permits issued in Iowa in a 12-month period reached its highest level since 2006 last month and is 25% higher than 1 year ago. Sales of existing homes continues to be strong. Energy prices remain relatively low.
The bottom line is the state has to find $130 million right now. The same thing happened 10 weeks ago when the governor announced a shortfall of $118 million. The solution then was to cut spending through many departments, and that happened, resulting in budget cuts that were widely criticized. Majority party leaders say it's too close to the end of the fiscal year to push through another bill to make budget cuts, so the money will be taken from the state's rainy day funds. But this means the governor's budget for next year needs to be revised again. That will surely cut funding from departments going forward. The announcement of this revenue projection error adds to the momentum of a new amendment to the state's constitution during Thursday afternoon's debate on Senate Joint Resolution 9. SJR 9 imposes spending limits, some that are already law, into the Constitution, like the 99% expenditure limitation. Since the 1990s, the legislature can only spend 99% of the state's revenue. That means the budget must be balanced by law. Typically, the next year's budget adds around 4% growth. But this year, the state isn't seeing that, which is why there are cuts. With the current 99% law, it's difficult but not impossible for the legislature to work around it. Senator Charles Schneider says changing the 99% expenditure limitation law into a constitutional amendment will make it harder to work around it. But he makes an amendment to this proposal with one way a majority could do so.
The legislature and the governor, with 2/3 vote by the members of both chambers and signature of the governor, can override the constitutional 99% expenditure limitation for whatever reason they deem necessary to do it. It could include a natural disaster, although I'd remind my colleagues that, to my knowledge anyway, we haven't had to notwithstand the 99% expenditure limitation in the past to handle natural emergencies, and we still have the Economic Emergency Fund and the Performance of Duty Fund that we could use to handle those emergencies. But some of the other situations that could arise, like acts of war, hyperinflation, something along those lines, if enough members of both chambers believe that that rises to the level necessary in order to override this constitutional protection, then they can do so. And I'd like to think that there'd be enough agreement among the members of our legislative chambers to do that. Maybe I'm a hopeful optimist, but I'd like to believe that for something like that, we'd be able to find enough bipartisan support to make that happen.
The amendment to the Senate Joint Resolution is adopted 48-0. The 99% limitation can be altered if enough representatives and senators and the governor says so. Now, let's be careful. We're talking about an amendment to the Joint Senate Resolution that could become a constitutional amendment in a few years, not this session. It's easy to get lost in this legislative talk. Okay, back to the resolution. It has the support of all Senate Republicans and many Democrats, but not all of them.
Let me discuss some of the reasons that I think we should reject this amendment.
Senator Herman Korbach says this proposal isn't necessary as a constitutional amendment, even when the Revenue Estimating Conference, or REC, is wrong. Korbach says he thinks the Revenue Estimating Conference members are doing a good job and that it's impossible to always be right when predicting the economy.
So what problem are we trying to solve here? Well, the problem that we have, as revealed by the REC estimates this week, is a short-term revenue forecast error. When we left here last spring, we didn't make it to June, thank goodness. When we left here last spring, we all agreed, and I'm sure we could go through everybody's email and find the self-congratulatory press releases we all sent out. We passed a balanced budget. We held spending within the target of given to us by the REC estimate. The problem we're facing right now is the REC estimate was wrong. That's a short-term problem, not a long-term problem. Long-term, we have been very fiscally responsible. So should we go amending the Constitution to fix a short-term problem? I would argue that we should not. That we should not be changing the state constitution for light and transient causes. Light and transient causes, not my words. Those are Jefferson's words from the Declaration of Independence. He said right there that we should not be changing government for light and transient causes. We have a short-term forecasting error, not a long-term fiscal responsibility problem.
Senator Pam Yoakum also opposes. She asks Senator Schneider to yield to explain more about this possible amendment to the Constitution.
Senator Schneider, would you tell me what the difference is between this resolution and the current 99% spending limitation law?
The major difference in this is that the carryover surplus from year to year is not rolled into the calculation of the estimate for the next year. The spending limitation is limited to 99% of the expected general fund revenue or 104% of the current fiscal year general fund revenue.
And then tell me what adjusted revenue estimate for the general fund of the state for the following fiscal year or 104% of the net revenue estimate for the general fund. What does that mean?
Basically, it means that the estimate is calculated the same way that it is today, except for the carryover surplus, if any, is not calculated into that. And what ends up being the REC estimate for what the legislature can spend is the lesser of 99% of that general fund revenue for, let's just use this current fiscal year as an example. 99% of the projected fiscal year 18 revenue, or 104% of the fiscal year 17 revenue. So if 104% of fiscal year 17 revenue is less than 99% of projected fiscal year 18 revenue, then we use the former number.
Senate joint resolution passes with bipartisan support. It has a long way to go before coming a constitutional amendment. If it passes the House, it will have to pass both chambers again during the next General Assembly, which doesn't start until 2019. If it passes both General Assemblies, it will then be put to a vote by the public. This makes 2020 the earliest it can become an amendment. If that happens, remember, you heard about it here first. In 2017, the first year of our weekly podcast about the Iowa legislature called Under the Golden Dome. I'm your host, John Pemble. A late-term pregnancy termination bill is debated in the Senate Tuesday night. Current law states a pregnancy cannot be terminated after the second trimester. This new bill, Senate File 471, rolls back the deadline to 20 weeks. Senator Mark Costello is the bill's floor manager. He says the bill does provide exceptions for an abortion after 20 weeks.
When in the best clinical judgment of the physician, the human pregnancy has a fetal anomaly incompatible with life. So this would make an exception for if the baby did not have any lungs or a brain, or there's no way it could survive outside the womb. We would give another 4 weeks for that mother to consider what she should do in that case, and give her an option to think about that and determine what she would like to do. And that's the bill as we have it. There are amendments.
The first amendment to this bill comes from Senator Jake Chapman. It states life begins at conception.
The sovereign state of Iowa recognizes that life is valued and protected from the moment of conception, and each life from that moment is accorded the same rights and protections guaranteed to all persons by the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the State of Iowa, and the laws of this state. This section shall not be construed to create or recognize a right to an abortion, to impose civil or criminal liability on a woman upon whom the abortion is performed, or to prohibit the use of any means of contraception.
Senator Costello asks for a ruling on Senator Chapman's amendment.
Mr. President, I would respectfully request a ruling as to whether the amendment is germane to the bill.
The amendment is not germane. Another amendment comes from Senator Mark Shelgren that in some situations could lessen the number of weeks an abortion can be provided if it can be proved the fetus can survive outside of the mother's body before 20 weeks.
As medical breakthroughs advance and we have the opportunity to drop from 20 weeks, which is recognized currently by 16 other states, we would have the opportunity to drop that threshold at where abortions are provided with the viability language in this bill. This simply says that 20 weeks or viability, whichever is less, is what we would recognize here in the state of Iowa. It would also mean that if there was a change in rulings with regards to the Supreme Court, if there were other things that would address clarifying definitions of viability, that could also be brought in here, but we are not going to exceed that 20-week threshold, and that's what the amendment does.
Senator Janet Peterson argues this bill is one of a series of mean-spirited bills brought to the chamber this year by Republicans.
I get the calls from women who get the devastating blow that their baby is not going to make it. These are people who want their babies. If a woman lives in Emmitsburg, she has an ultrasound at 19 weeks, and they find out something is seriously, seriously wrong with her baby, it will probably be at least another week before she can get an appointment at a maternal fetal medicine specialist, because our state is so lacking in physicians who provide reproductive care for women in the state. We've talked about this earlier in the session. We're the rock bottom. So a woman at 19 weeks doesn't know exactly what's wrong. She's got to go to Des Moines or Iowa City, and you're cutting down her window of time to decide what to do in a situation she never wanted to face. This would tell her, we don't care. You're gonna have to carry your baby to term, even if it won't take a breath, because we don't give a crap about your reproductive organs as long as you're not going to die. Or you can get in a car and drive to another state for the procedure. Imagine if that was your sister, your wife, your daughter, your granddaughter. Is that really what we want to do for women in this state? You are not doctors. We are politicians messing in an area which we have no business to be involved in. You are taking away a woman's ability to decide what's best for her body in the most awful, awful situation she'll probably ever face in her life.
Senator Mark Shulgren argues his amendment and the rest of the bill already addresses some of Senator Peterson's concerns.
The section shall not apply to the termination of a human pregnancy between 20 and 24 weeks post-fertilization performed by a licensed physician in the state to practice medicine or surgery or osteopathic medicine or surgery when, in the best clinical judgment of the physician, the human pregnancy has a fetal anomaly incompatible with life. This says specifically, and by the way, there's a reason that was put in there. The reason it was put in the bill and is not being changed by the amendment is exactly for what Senator Peterson mentioned. I did call 5 local pediatricians in my area asking them questions about it, because I wasn't going to sit here and only listen to politicians. I wasn't only going to listen to, you know, those in the legal community. I wanted to know on the front lines what the pediatricians thought. And what they said was, they said, you know, we have a good idea what's going to happen around 5 weeks, but we cannot confirm that until we get the ultrasound information. And that could be 18 or 19 weeks. And we have a scheduling problem, exactly as was put out. What we're looking for is, we're looking for kidneys, we're looking for lungs, and we're looking for a brain. If they are not there, there needs to be some options for scheduling so we can get to University of Iowa Hospitals or one of our other fine medical facilities to deal with this issue and give time to trust the woman and their doctor to find a good solution. That's why it's in the bill. This amendment does not change the bill. It's a good amendment, and I ask for your support.
Senator Shulgren's amendment passes. A few more senators speak about the bill in the last half hour of debate. Senator Rick Bertrand says he supports this bill, but he is very disappointed.
I've been here 7 years, and I've been waiting for this opportunity. We control the House, the Republicans, we control the Senate, and we now control the governor. And tonight we decided this is the bill that we as Republicans are going to send out. We're going to send out a 20-week bill that basically has already failed in the House. This is what we're going to do. This is what we fought for. This is what we campaigned for. This is the bill we settled on. We had a chance tonight to do something, I believe, something very special. And it went down. 20 weeks versus sending a bill out that we know that probably isn't going to immediately save babies. That was never the goal of personhood. But it's the goal of sending it back to where this horrific practice began, which was the Supreme Court. We could have put that on a path tonight. We didn't. We'll do it next time.
During closing remarks, floor manager of the bill, Senator Mark Costello, says he also wishes the bill would restrict more abortion rights.
Well, I know it's not everything that I would like it to be. I think it's a good bill. I think it does make an attempt to save lives and to help to promote life. And I think that it's a decent bill that we need to go ahead and pass and send it to the House. Mr. President, I just ask that you move the bill.
It passes 32-17. If it becomes law, penalty for terminating a pregnancy reaching 20 weeks is a Class C felony, punishable by up to 10 years in prison. This is Under the Golden Dome, a weekly podcast about the Iowa legislative session. I'm John Pimble. Thursday night, the House passed legislation limiting the amount an injured employee can be compensated. Representative Peter County says there's abuse in the system that needs to be fixed.
Right now, you are able to collect unemployment insurance while you're on workers' compensation. When you're on workers' compensation, you're being compensated for being injured at work and can't work. If you're on unemployment, you're supposed to be looking for a job.
But opponents say the overall bill won't help workers enough who have been injured. Representative Bruce Hunter.
This is the bill that takes those workers and shoves them aside and says, you're just another piece of equipment, and when you break down, we'll get rid of you.
Next week on the show, we will dive into the workers' compensation debate featuring an Iowa Public Radio-hosted discussion from the Capitol Law Library. Also, this was to be the week a bill reorganizing the Des Moines Waterworks would come up in the House. It was on the schedule for 2 days, but it didn't happen. With a month left in this session, you can expect to hear about this contentious bill very soon. Under the Golden Dome is a weekly podcast about the Iowa legislative session. The concept is by our news program director, Catherine Perkins. Our news director, Michael Leland, gives us guidance and edits. Stories for today's show comes from our Statehouse reporter, Joyce Russell. Sarah Bowden pitched in, too. We also had help from Radio Iowa's Kay Henderson. We're getting close to the home stretch of the session. April 18th is the 100th day. That's when per diem expenses end. And it's also a mark of when some staffers plan to leave the Capitol. The big question about the end of every session is, when will it really end? Remember, this was originally scheduled for 110 days. And there are many bills listed as priorities. Will Democrats try to stop some of these bills with dozens of amendments? Will Republicans vote time certain on more debates? If it happens next week, you will hear about it here when our next podcast comes out Friday afternoon from iowapublicradio.org. I'm John Pimble.